Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
The Athletic FC Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to Pod on the Tyne. You're live from St. James's Park on the final day. Podcast dedicated to Newcastle United from the Athletic FC. I'm Taylor Payne, and joining me to take you through the highs and hopefully more highs and police sirens of Newcastle's final day, when we'll discover which European competition they'll be playing in next season. I'm joined by George Colgan. Hello, George.
Hello, Taylor. Hello, Chris. Hello, everybody listening. What a beautiful day of weather it is currently, although I've just been pissed on walking into St. James's Park. But what a glorious scene. We're standing just beside the Bobby Robson statue outside St. James's Park. The sun is shining on us. There's a real buzz about the city and the stadium, as there should be after this incredible season.
I mean, what I am concerned about is that George is wearing a cap, which I don't think I've ever seen George wear a cap before. You're looking very retro in your old style Jason Tindall tracksuit there as well. I like it. Looking, does that get you in the mindset for this match?
Yes, I'm channeling a bit of Joe Linton, and that's what I'm doing. I just thought I would channel the beast and make it so today. You know, you've got to do that, haven't you? So, chaps, it's the final day. There's a bit of jeopardy involved in this, isn't there? Newcastle are teetering on the brink of the Champions League, but they will end up in a European competition regardless of what happens today, George.
Yeah, very, very exciting. I mean, that was the ambition set out for them at the start of the season. Let's not forget, they've achieved it by winning the Carabao Cup, and anything, you know, from that point was a bonus. But I mean, what's remarkable about this group of players and staff is the vigour which they've set about doing that. They've all said openly that it's the Champions League, that's what they want, and to be here on the final day of the season, pushing for that one win away from the Champions League is very, very special. If there's ever been jeopardy for Newcastle on the last day of seasons, in most of our memories, it's been for bad reasons.
Yeah.
I do just want to kind of like give a caveat and say that, you know, whatever happens today, it's not going to be a disaster if Newcastle don't get into the Champions League. They've got Europe to look forward to. It's been an absolutely brilliant transformational season, whatever happens. And I think we should be feeling positive about it. But you know, it won't be a disaster if they don't get there.
It is the last day, of course, Chris. It's been a relentless season, hasn't it? It feels like a lot has happened since August last year. Obviously, Newcastle are cup winners now, on the edge of the Champions League. It's exciting, though, isn't it? This is what we want. This is the kind of thing that we want on the last day of the season.
It is. I mean, you mentioned since August. You actually really have to go back to last May, probably, and Newcastle missing out on Europe last season, and then obviously the FA Cup final, which they weren't in, but Man United preventing them from getting there, and then a season of disruption, PSR And, I mean, George and I are going to be writing about this week, the sort of story of the season, and the way we're going to term it almost is the story of sort of, it basically is a cliched season of two halves, because, I mean, I remember being in Germany last July, and Eddie Howe couldn't even say at that point he was going to be in charge at the start of the campaign, and he's going to end it with being the first manager since 1969 to win a trophy for this club and potentially take them back into the Champions League for the second year out of 3 years. It's an extraordinary achievement given the fact that they haven't strengthened the first 11 for three windows, given there have been ups and downs, and given that they were 12th at the start of December. It hasn't been just a linear sort of battle to get here. It's not as if Newcastle have always been in the conversation for Champions League. We were talking about being outsiders for European football come autumn, really, and yet, really, it already has been a memorable campaign. It can be truly, truly historic if they do get in the Champions League now as well. So I think it's, we do have to remember those negative times, because I think it's, we do get sort of caught up in all of us, and particularly us in the media, there's recency bias. It's like George and I have done a piece sort of debating the contenders for player of the season, and we've put Lewis Hall into that, because if you were doing this, having this conversation at the start of March, you probably would have won it. But if you have the conversation today on match day almost, fans, they'll probably forget Lewis Hall and mention somebody else. We have to go back and look through a season that's been a very long season, but in the end, regardless of what happens today, as George says, it's been a very, very successful one.
And I'm sure that personal highlights are probably all the same for all of us. I mean, the cup win is the big one, isn't it? But is there any other personal highlights for you, George, this season?
Well, I mean, there's been lots of sort of little bits of history, you know, along the way, hasn't it? I mean, like doing the double over Man U. I wasn't at Old Trafford, but, you know, things like that, little bits of history, winning at Arsenal, the two cup semi-finals against Arsenal, I just think were extraordinary. I think they're, you know, yes, the cup final, but those two performances, I think, were amongst the best under Eddie Howe. Just, you know, like this clinical, ice cool team that can kind of get the job done, for, you know, for that to be Newcastle is astonishing. It's a complete reversal of this club's history. You know, you're talking about often being a batshit football club, you know, very emotional, and those performances weren't like that. They were just so kind of free of angst. But no, I mean, the cup final, Dan Burn scoring that goal, you know, my brother being there, was just like beautiful moments. But yeah, I mean, they were 12th in December. I mean, it's nonsense to think about that. They were every inch a mid-table team in December. And this second half of the season has just been extraordinary. Chris, I'm just looking over here. So I've set the scene that we are underneath the Sir Bobby Robson statue. We've got Shearer near us. There's a man wearing what looks to be a Star Wars stormtrooper outfit.
He's a Mandalorian, George. Come on, go right.
It's a Mandalorian. You should go. Surely you should be communing with him after your Brighton experience. You must have stories to tell.
I mean, share a bed with him. I mean, I don't really know what you're getting at. It's like that's what my experience of Star Wars is this season. So that's not a highlight. Just clarify. Me going to Brighton was not necessarily a highlight. Although I did quite enjoy that weekend. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the cup final. That's an obvious one. I was at Old Trafford. That was brilliant, because going there, I remember George and I speaking before the match and talking about what I may write about, and it was that idea of Newcastle going to Old Trafford with expectation. And we are starting to get rained on, so we may have to move in a second, but the idea of Newcastle going to Old Trafford with expectation, not something that they've ever really had before, and then delivering, and it was absolutely hilarious. It really, really was funny as much as anything else to see. And I mean, the way that their season's gone as well, and obviously them ending by finally losing the Europa League final. The rain is really starting to get heavier now, so we may have to pause for a second to find somewhere else.
Yeah, let's just move location, and we'll come back in just a moment. Right, quick, I'm keeping this recording. Should we just dive under the tunnel there? Yeah. Oh, we're going up the steps. Chris has burst into a jaunty kind of dad walk as he goes. There he is. Looking every inch a Curry's sales assistant today in his light blue shirt, chinos and brown shoes. Yeah, up the stairs. I'm just saying, Chris, George, Chris looks like he works in Curry's today, doesn't he? It looks like he should be selling me a television.
Yeah, he does, yeah. I mean, you know, if he plays his cards right, works hard, then that might be part of his future. Who knows? I love the fact we are just moving up the Gallagate whilst recording. We have been standing next to Sir Bobby. The number of people walking past and touching one of Bobby's shoes just for a bit of luck. I love seeing those little pre-match rituals in action.
It's delightful, isn't it? Right then, chaps, we're settled again. We're out of the rain. How are the nerves today? As we said, there is some jeopardy there. isn't the end of the world if Newcastle don't make the Champions League, but it is a big deal nonetheless.
I'm a bit out of breath, but that's got nothing to do with nerves of the game. That's just walking up two flights of stairs there. Yeah, there will be nerves, and it's one of those weird ones that probably for most of the ground, they won't be able to know what is going on elsewhere. Whereas we in the press box, theoretically, as much as the Wi-Fi is not always great here, we'll have more of an idea of what Newcastle need to do and whether they do need to be winning. And I mean, obviously, if Newcastle are ahead, barring an absolutely dramatic, ridiculous set of results, that will mean that they're going to be in the Champions League. So I think there's going to be a fast start. That's exactly what everyone wants. There's 2 free pints coming in.
Yes, there is.
So, yes, George and I, unfortunately, will not be partaking. But the atmosphere will be raucous.
Can I have yours? Can I have 6 free pints?
but the atmosphere will be raucous. War flags have got the display. They've had to edit their display already because of the weather, but it's still going to be a fantastic one to commemorate what has already been a brilliant season. But it's become cliched almost us talking about on the podcast the last few weeks. Newcastle are a big game team now, and I don't want to jinx anything by saying that and then it going wrong here, but psychologically this season they've found a way to just put that all to one side, and then they're delivering these big moments, and so therefore I'm not coming into it with nerves. I think that they will win. I mean, there is a bizarre dramatic scenario where they could even finish level with Man City, and so such that the Premier League rule book states that, I didn't cover this in my long explanation last weekend because there are more, but basically they could be tied third or fourth. Literally, they wouldn't actually be designated different positions because it gets to a certain level after goals scored or something whereby, unless there's something at stake like the title or Champions League qualification, if Newcastle and Man City are in the top five already, they will just be joint positions.
Just
could be.
Choose their hardest lad against our hardest lad and just have a tops-off fight in the car park. That's it. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, so I am nervous in the sense that I've got that nice, buzzy anticipation feel, something at stake. And yeah, it is a big deal. Like, everyone wants to be in the Champions League. So I totally get that, and I totally sort of understand it. I'm not nervous about Newcastle, which is the kind of interesting thing. I'm not nervous about this team. Yeah, I'm nervous about the occasion and the, you know, that sort of stuff. I am a bit nervous about Everton, though, if this makes sense, because they've had that huge emotional release of their last game at Goodison Park, but they've been in really decent form under David Moyes. They're very, very mean away from home. They don't concede goals. They don't lose a lot of games. And so it's, you know, that sort of narrow, edgy sort of game.
Of course, they won the last time they came to St James's Park as well.
So that does look like that's a kind of possibility. So I do think it's, you know, everybody needs to be patient. Everyone needs to be noisy and loud and kind of be ready for the day. I don't think that it's going to be a walkover. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be a game in which there are going to be a lot of goals. I might be wrong. I hope I am. I hope Newcastle score very early and, you know, and then it can become a kind of beautiful carnival atmosphere. But I'm no longer nervous about this team and this team not turning up. That doesn't necessarily mean that Newcastle win, of course, but I'm not kind of nervous about that.
The doomsday scenario that George sort of predicted could unfold on the podcast last weekend, the first part of it's happened. Sunderland were promoted yesterday. We have to hope that Jordan Pickford has taken advantage of some of those free beers here or elsewhere, and that it is one of those matches where he turns up and loses his head here rather than plays a man in the match performance.
Yes, of course, Sunderland have qualified for the qualified, is that the word? They've been promoted to the Premier League after a dramatic playoff final yesterday against Sheffield United, and this means, of course, George, that the derbies are going to be back next season, and my nerves are already tingling because of that.
Yeah, I'm sure I do not speak on behalf of the majority here, but I'm really excited about that. I think it's brilliant for the Northeast. I think it's it's great. I'm pleased that sort of northern clubs have kind of come back up, but there's just nothing like the derby. It is, they're horrible days, but there's just nothing else like it. That feeling of adrenaline and nausea, sickness, excitement, you know, devastation if you lose, and sort of relief if you win. There's nothing like it. In my career, I've never known a time really when the two clubs are kind of pulling each other up. It's always been like a race to the bottom, and so they've been desperation derbies for a long, long time. It'd be nice to think that it could be two clubs lifting each other up. Obviously, it's going to be very, very tough for Sunderland. We've seen this season that the three teams that came up have gone straight back down, just like they did last season. So they've got their work cut out. But, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for those days already.
I'm terrified for them, to be honest. I've made no sort of bones about the fact that I hate the Derby games with a passion. They're like the things I look forward to the least as a Newcastle fan, because just all of that churning sort of horrible feeling. However, I am absolutely buzzing for all my friends and colleagues and people who I know who are Sunderland fans. You could see what it meant to them yesterday. It was such a big deal, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, and it was in quite dramatic circumstances. And if anyone watching the first half thought that Sunderland were going to go up, you'd probably laughed in the face. But then as soon as they equalised, you felt that the momentum had completely shifted, and then quite dramatic that the way that they'd got up. Yeah, I mean, for North East football in general, huge moment. Am I looking forward to covering European football and derbies next season? I can't pretend that I'm delighted by that prospect. But at the same time, more big games for Newcastle. Probably they will be among the biggest matches in Sunderland's season next season, regardless of how well they do or otherwise. So, yeah. Yeah, all their focus will be on that, really.
Ollie's written on the running order here. Fitness expectations. So my knee's quite sore. How about you, George? Are you okay?
Well, I got wet on the way in, yeah, so that wasn't... So I've got sort of underpants chafing, so that's not nice.
That can be quite nasty, that. Chris, how about you? Is your hip all right?
My hip's all right. I've been a bit chesty this week, and I mean, my fitness is important because I am playing on the pitch on Tuesday as well. So, you know, it's very important. It's more important than whether Alexander Isak is going to play in 2 hours' time.
Yes, so we're coming on to this. This is where we were going originally. Alexander Isak is here. He's in the building. That's a good sign for Newcastle.
It is, yeah. I always thought that, I mean, we still don't know whether he's going to start. George and I will bring another update when we get the team sheet, but I suspect that he will. My thought was always going to be, unless there's likely long-term damage to actually playing him, you may as well take the risk with him to this afternoon. Callum Wilson didn't really do enough last weekend. You could play Gordon through the middle, but Alexander Isak, it's that psychological lift he gives everyone. Everyone's already had a lift, the fact that he's even here. If he starts, it's almost the fact that he's on the pitch and that he will occupy defenders, and then that gives room for whoever's out wide and coming up from midfield. So, yeah, that's absolutely huge, really.
We need to do some shout-out to some friends. George, Mark Allison, let's start with him.
Yes, obviously, Mark would be here under normal circumstances. Follows Newcastle home and away. These are very much not normal circumstances, of course, because he is running across the United States right now, raising money for charity. Yeah, brilliant. Chris, really chuffed. Chris asked Eddie Howe a question about Mark at the press conference on Friday and got like a lovely answer. Got a lovely answer from the manager. But yeah, Mark, keep on going, you're doing brilliantly. We're really, really proud of you, and yeah, we'll hear more from Mark over the coming weeks.
Yeah, we've got to give a shout out to Jan in the box office as well, Chris, who's retiring after what feels like a million years representing Newcastle United.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people who have dealt with the club in those sort of circumstances, you just need to ring the box office because you need your ticket or there's a little issue or whatever. And yes, we've had an email in from our son, and she's going to be a special guest, I believe, today in the director's box, and a familiar face who'll be sorely missed. But again, there's just so many people throughout the years at the club who are in that sort of position. Don't know who
they're booing you, Chris. That's what that is.
I mean. It's about time, really. It's taken all season for us to get that point. But yeah, just on the point about all those people who've been in the club for so long, and the people who don't get the shout outs, but they are part of the success, really, as well. They were here during the negative times, and it sounds cliche to say that, but Bruno Guimaraes in his programme notes for the match today gives a shout out to all those people behind the scenes. He talks about the kit men, the player liaison officers, everyone in and around the training ground. He refers to them as a family, and it still does have that family feel, which is not something you necessarily associate with the quote unquote wealthiest club in the world, whether that's a fair moniker or not. And I think that Eddie Howe and his staff have done very well to continue that sort of tradition, really.
Hi Jan, Nick Pope here. I just wanted to give you a quick message from myself and the lads to say thank you for your 31 years at the club. Absolutely amazing achievement, and myself and the boys just wanted to wish you all the very best in retirement. Enjoy.
Yes, I need to say my own personal tribute to Jan from the box office, as everyone knows her as, because she really helped me and my family when Gordon, my stepdad, passed away, and helped with his season ticket details. So, yeah, hope you have a long and very, very happy retirement, Jan, and yeah, it's a day to think about people who are no longer with us, can't be with us, or you know, we might have lost over the course of the season. So it's always an emotional day, the last day of the season, just like the first day is. I mean it has gone on forever this season, but the end comes very quickly, but when it comes, doesn't it?
To be fair, we said that last year, and I think last year did pip it just, but next year could be even longer because they are back in the Champions League and derbies are there, so look forward to that.
Absolutely. Right then, Chops. Let's call it a day for now, and we'll check back in when the teams come out, yeah? Are we doing score predictions? All right, go on then, Chris. Give us a score prediction.
Newcastle United 2, Everton 0.
George?
I don't like doing predictions, but because I just like to watch and see what happens. But I will break the habit here. I think it'll be narrow. I think it'll be nervy. I think it'll be 1-0 to Newcastle United.
I'm going 3-1 to Newcastle United. There you go. All right, we'll check back in with you, Chops, for the teams coming out in just a little bit. Speak to you soon.
I'd eat war, kid.
So the time is 3:03. Kickoff is in just over an hour, but we have the team news, and Alexander Isak does start for Newcastle United, George. That is the one change from the defeat of Arsenal, which we were at, and Callum Wilson started front. Laboured might be a bit of a strong word, but didn't exactly contribute in an offensive manner. How much of a boost is that? We discussed before with Taylor outside that even just him being here provides a little boost, but him being in the 11, I think maybe the shot in the arm everyone wanted.
Newcastle know what they have to do. They have to go for the win, and you know, Alexander Isak is a centre forward who strikes fear in the heart of defenders. Nobody wants to play against him because he's so good, he's quick, he's mobile, he can offer danger wherever he is on the pitch. You can't leave him alone for a second. At this point of his career, Callum Wilson isn't the same centre forward he was a few years ago. I think he loves giving centre halves a game, but it's much more difficult for him to do that when he can't kind of move with the same sort of confidence and fluidity that he did a couple of years ago. So, no, it's a big, big boost. Nobody in the Everton team would want to play against Alexander Isak, even if he isn't quite at 100% fitness. Yeah, like you, I'm a little bit surprised that the manager has stuck with this formation, the three at the back, five at the back, not because it hasn't been decent or successful in the last kind of couple of games, more because we know that it tends to be a slightly more sort of defensive formation, and this is a game that Newcastle have to kind of go out and win. It does mean, you know, Harvey Barnes and Anthony Gordon both playing in those forward positions, but Barnes out of position presumably. So yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised as well. I mean, we are assuming, as things stand, that it is going to be a back three because all of Botman, Cher and Byrne start. I suppose it could be different, and I'm sure Howe would try to contend about the idea that it is defensive necessarily. I suppose you would say he usually plays it against the so-called big six sides. He did it against Chelsea, and it worked certainly well for 45 minutes at home in the first half of that game. It worked certainly well again for 45 minutes at Arsenal, and then he changed up to 4-3-3 in both games. I wouldn't say it's a massive vote of confidence in necessarily Joe Willock or Lewis Miley at the moment, but I think that's again that they don't necessarily provide exactly what Joe Linton is doing. So I sort of get it, but I also think in some ways you could look at it and say, well, it means he hasn't had to drop any of Jacob Murphy, Anthony Gordon and Harvey Barnes, which would have been a difficult decision to make in that sense. Kieran Trippier is back on the bench, so there is only one goalkeeper that is a sort of positive in that sense. But yeah, I suppose we'll just have to wait and see how Newcastle think that Everton are going to line up, and it may be to try and combat that as well. One player who is in the lineup who was positive news over the last 24-48 hours, and who really it's been the story of the season, is Dan Byrne, who has committed his future to Newcastle for another year after next season, so at least till 2027. There have been reports that there's also an option to extend that for a further year, but really a no-brainer, wasn't it, George?
Yes, I think so, and a great boost for everybody, and obviously for him, yeah, absolutely deserves it. Just reward. This is Dan Byrne season. We're just all living in it. You know, those fantastic highlights from the cup final, scoring a goal to, you know, immediately getting called into the England squad. Yeah, really, really brilliant. If anybody was in any doubt about his quality, I think that should have been banished this season. He is still getting better and improving and learning. He's got this kind of great experience, but
you know, he's just quality as well. I mean, he has been absolute quality. And, you know, to have made as many appearances as he has for his club is brilliant. He's a great story. And, yeah, I mean, he's not finished yet. He's never accepted that he's kind of just here for a brief period of time. He wants to carry on and play, and he will be one of, if not the first name on the team sheet these days.
Yeah, I mean, I've just awkwardly touched your leg because we're recording here in the press box. I just want to mention that. But in the press room, sorry, we're going to go out in the press box soon.
It wasn't awkward for me. I'm very comfortable. I'm very comfortable with my sexuality.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, you still do have your cap on inside as well, I've noticed as well. But we are going to go outside, and the next recording you will hear will be at half time when there may have been twists and turns, but hopefully Newcastle United are winning and winning comfortably, and then basically it's plain sailing from there. But yeah, there's the team news. Less than an hour to go until kickoff now.
A lot in front of Tonali to have a go. Pickford pushes it away and saves the follow up from Issa. Botman! And Pickford stops that again. Adisa Gay releasing. Mikhailenko gets his cross in, and Alcaraz's header. It's a fantastic save from Nick Pope.
It is 0-0 at half-time at St James's Park, and I think it's fair to say that it's a bit of an edgy stadium. Newcastle haven't really got going. I think those thoughts that Everton might be here and just sit back haven't quite come to fruition. Newcastle have had more of the ball, but Everton have looked up for it. They've had some good chances. Chris, you said a few moments ago that the two keepers have been the best players on the park. I think that's right. Some important saves from Pickford and a really good one from Nick Pope at the other end to deny an Alcaraz header. A really important moment. Everyone's kind of holding their nerve, but it's not been the most fluent of performances, and it's not been the most easy game for Newcastle to navigate so far.
No, I mean, we expected Newcastle to come out of the traps and be really front foot and pressing and rapid, and that didn't really happen. It wasn't that they were poor, it just wasn't the sort of lightning quick start. Everton built a bit of initiative. Beto has caused problems for Sven Botman in a way that I've not really seen many centre-backs do, certainly in the first 25 minutes, half an hour. I think that Newcastle's system isn't necessarily working. You noticed during the first half that Eddie Howe and Jason Tindall were discussing about 4 or 5 minutes potential changes that seemed to relay some of those to Barnes and the Murphy in game, but then that hasn't necessarily brought anything. And there's been signs of frustration creeping in. Alexander Isak looks like a half fit player. He's coming deep, he's looking frustrated. Jacob Murphy cut inside from the right wing, gave the ball away in midfield. Alcaraz counters, Cher pulls him back with a complete clear tactical foul, and then just turns and screams at Jacob Murphy. I mean, it was Jacob Murphy's fault, but it seemed a bit unbecoming. And I think there's just frustration is building. There's no need to panic. The other results haven't changed really in terms of what Newcastle need to do. Other results are basically there aren't goals in any of their games except Man City. But yeah, it hasn't been necessarily the home and hose Newcastle 2-0 up by half time we might have hoped for.
No, Martinez at Aston Villa has been sent off. That's just happened just by half time, so there's that. And I think Newcastle have to find a way of being a bit more effective. I would like to say it was just a brilliant atmosphere. Kickoff, war flags display, last of the season was really beautiful, kind of going across the whole stadium. But in the Gallagate, there was a flag that read, "You entered the pitch as players, you left it as legends." That was about Wembley and the Carabao Cup. And some good noise, but it's not been the kind of game or performance that encourages noise. I would say it's just felt a bit sort of sticky. I agree about the formation. I just don't think it's sort of working. I wouldn't be surprised to see a change there, but yeah, well, we'll see what happens. But it's not a disaster so far, but could be better, and I think Newcastle have to find a way of being a bit more penetrating.
Beto flicked it on, and now Alcaraz, and he's got support here from Harrison. He's going alone, and it's another crucial save from Nick Pope. Mikhailenko's cross, Alcaraz, goal for Everton! Absolutely flattens St James's Park, and as it stands, they have dropped out of the Champions League places. Trippier for Cher. Fabian Cher! Oh! What if anyone was going to score from there? He was.
What a hit. The power was astonishing.
Meanwhile,
Harry Maguire's misjudged it, and Altai, he's lost it as well, and Morgan Rodgers has the chance, it's in! The referee's given a free kick against Aston Villa for the challenge on the goalkeeper.
Well, this is going to be
Unai Emery furious.
This is going to be interesting. That's remarkable.
I can't see a foul that's been committed by Rodgers.
Neither can I.
I can't see
Neither
that.
Can I.
No, Bruno Fernandes, that's not a bad ball. And that's coming on to him, scores! Well, that's such a kick in the teeth for Aston Villa. The Morgan Rodgers goal wiped off at one end, and almost immediately Amat scores for Manchester United at the other.
I'm all away from the ground. I'm still not 100% sure what's actually happening, to be honest. I think Newcastle have qualified for the Champions League. And if that's the case, that's brilliant news. I'm still not entirely sure. There's other games still being played. Villa and Man United, I think, is the one that we're kind of waiting on. God, this is such a weird feeling. It's been such a poor game of football. Newcastle weren't at it at all. But it's a weird feeling. I think everyone was expecting some kind of celebration party atmosphere, and it's been really tense and a bit scrappy and a bit it's been hard going, to be honest. And now the feeling's quite weird. It's not so jubilant and people aren't really celebrating, so I'm still not sure what's going on. I think everybody's checking their phones around me and people are trying to see the league table updated and stuff, but from what people are saying, Newcastle sneak into the Champions League in fifth place after Aston Villa lose to Man United. So let's see. Well, there we go. There's confirmation just come through there. Newcastle sneaking in the Champions League ahead of Aston Villa on goal difference. Unbelievable. What a season for Newcastle United and Eddie Howe and the players. So unbelievably proud of them. No successful season I can remember in my entire lifetime, a cup win and a Champions League qualification. I think if anybody had told you we were going to do that at the start of the year, you would have called them an idiot. Exciting times ahead. Back in the Champions League, and now I'm flying my way through the crowds trying to get back to the tiny man.
So, to the backdrop of Tony Christie and Is This the Way to Amarillo, Newcastle are back in the Champions League, and my goodness, did they make hard work of it. For once, Man United have done them a favour. The team that has always felt like a nemesis have beaten Aston Villa, and it's by virtue of that Newcastle stay in the top five on goal difference from Villa, and therefore get back into the elite European competition. As we sit here in the press box, the team, the squad, staff and their family members are doing a very slow lap of honour. It was a really surreal ending to the match. Newcastle really just not at it at all today. And then having to wait for that result to filter through. When it was, the Champions League theme was played. The players all bopped and bounced together in a little group. Jason Tindall dancing. A great moment. And then we saw Callum Wilson burst into tears as he kind of made his way down to the tunnel and then take a lap of appreciation on his own. His contract is up this summer. So, yeah, lots of emotion around. Chris, wow, what a strange afternoon. Has a defeat ever been celebrated like this?
Yeah, but I mean, it is being celebrated now, but it was the full-time whistle was really, really odd because at that stage, I mean, we knew in the press box at Man United with 2-0 up against Villa, there wasn't that long left. It looked highly, highly likely Newcastle would be in the Champions League. But the announcer sort of was reading out that the Man United were winning, but said, oh, there's still a minute to go, we'll confirm. And so you got some parts of the ground start to celebrate, others didn't. And then the Champions League music blared. And it's that weird sort of... It was anticlimactic to begin with, and now people are singing about winning the cup rightly, the players are being paraded, there's flags everywhere, people have stayed behind to celebrate what would have been a magnificent season regardless, and it ends with a defeat, but it still ends with Newcastle having won a cup and actually finishing in fifth place, so they will be back in the Champions League. They're really laboured today, the system didn't work, we weren't sure about it beforehand, how to change it at half time. Joe Willock came on, Anthony Gordon was hooked. That didn't really make that much of a difference. Callum Wilson was brought on after about 70 minutes after Carlos Alcaraz had put Everton ahead. I wouldn't necessarily say Everton deserved to be ahead, but certainly they deserved to be at least level, and they'd given as good as they got. And then, so Wilson came on, Isak was played just off him. Isak had a couple of opportunities, didn't look right at all. And then actually Everton looked the more likely of scoring. Beto had a good chance after Burns slipped, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin put one at Nick Pope at the end of the game. And there was that weird tension during the second half when it was filtering around the ground that Aston Villa had initially scored, but that was disallowed, and then Man United immediately scored, and that was sort of celebrated because Newcastle had very temporarily gone out of the top five, dropped down to six, and were back up to fifth. So it's been a very, very strange, certainly second half, but you're going to hear a local hero play in the background now, and it is a successful end, might not be on the pitch, but generally for the year, for what has been an absolutely monumental season in Newcastle's history. All of the players that he have deserve immense credit. They might not have won today, but they did enough throughout the course of the season to get in this position.
Yeah, it feels like a suitably epic ending to what has been an epic season. We'll come back and chat a bit more when the dust has settled, when we've done some work in a couple of hours, and in the meantime, some reaction from Eddie Howe and possibly a player or two.
I'm happy, I'm going to get me suit measured.
Eddie, I mean, that must be the best defeat of your career.
Yeah, I mean, I'm miserable as you like when we lose, and especially if we don't play well. So that's a double hit for me today, which I'll have to absorb. But then sort of got this nice feeling as well, which I'm battling internally. But I think I've got to try and lose this and bring more of the good feeling back, because it's been an unbelievable season. And I have to look at that in context and go, if you'd have said in the summer, which was turbulent, which was difficult, what we would have gone on to achieve, I probably wouldn't have believed you in that moment. So yeah, a great season, one I'll always remember.
Hey, listen, it was one of those games. It was a good atmosphere. You could feel it was nervy. I think you could see we were probably a bit nervy on the pitch as well. But I'm just, really glad that we made it.
You mentioned the season as a whole. I mean, you go back to the start of December and it felt like the season was maybe necessarily not going anywhere. And you ended with the trophy and the Champions League. Put yourself back in that moment and then forward, to now. How does that feel?
Yeah, I think we're probably written off pretty early. We'd been sort of inconsistent. We weren't really performing well, even though we're picking up results. And then we had that sticky patch in December. But I think that just shows how far we've come as a team. Sort of the 3 years, that we've been with a manager. I feel like we're constantly improving. He's getting the best out of us all of the time. Then I feel like we're starting to get to the stage where we feel like we're a top team.
And did you still believe that this was possible at that stage when you sort of, because of the inconsistency? Probably
not when you're sitting 12th in the league, no, but I think we always had the confidence that we knew when we performed we could beat anyone in the league. And that run that we went on, it just felt as if every time we stepped on the pitch that we were going to win. And sometimes you need that. And yeah, I felt like we've getting used to playing in big games now. That's probably the first time we've not performed well when we've been in that sort of situation. I think on a whole it's going to be tough to top this season.
I know you said it's not the Champions League, it's not the sort of be on the end, but
I said that beforehand. How did I just say it then? Nothing bad.
But I mean, you've made no secret that the Champions League was the target. The players have talked about it repeatedly. Can you talk a little bit about that sort of moment after Wembley, and how and why you've been able to sort of target it?
Yeah, I think the reaction after the cup final was pivotal, and we sort of knew it because we had a massive, massive high. You had the bus parade, which was another massive high, and then you're thinking, right, how are we going to How are we going to come down from this? What's the reaction going to be? That there were concerns from me that that would be the case. It would be like massive high and then drop off and then season fizzles out. Always remembered for the cup win, but just a bit of disappointment and regret in the league. But I think it boils down to the players' mindset. I saw a real confidence lift from what the cup final brought us. It gave us a we can beat anybody feel. Came back and played really, really well. Never looked back, really. So I think the win against Liverpool did us so much good. And I think that will help us again next year in our internal belief in what we're capable of, I hope. And that's how it had to be used for the positive.
What does it actually mean to be back in the Champions League? You've all said it was great to be there, you want to be back there, but just explain what it actually means.
I just think just bringing Champions League football, but I think the excitement that was around the city and stuff that the first time we did it will probably be a little bit different now because it was similar to the first time we got the cup final. Now we probably feel as if like we should be there, whereas I think we played so well that Champions League year, it was like really exciting to do it, where we do feel like we should be doing that. It would be great. I think the new format will probably help as well. We had a tough group last time, although we weren't complaining, that's what I wanted, but hopefully the new format will help when it's bigger and better games.
Two Champions League campaigns in three seasons, is this an elite group, an elite club now?
I don't know how you classify it, really. I think that's what we want to be, that's what we're desperate to continue to be, and I think that's the, if I answer that with a definitive yes, I'm not sure that's wise. I'll let you judge that, but I think we crave that, we want that. Now my summer will be focused purely on trying to make us stronger and better for every challenge that we're going to face.
Getting the Champions League, get your brother to forgive you for covering his pants.
I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if anything the boy's going to have that for me whole of my life, I think. I'm sure I'll make it up.
Are you going to do like a video?
I don't want to spoil it too much because it's me and another guy's a best man, so we've tried to practice sort of the speech when I'm in it, and then we've got something planned if I'm not in it. So hopefully someone will video it, and then we might put it on my Instagram, seeing as I'm a social influencer now.
Is this the way to Barcelona? Bayern Munich, Lazio, Roma.
Come on, what a voice.
I mean, you're not going to any of those games. You're going to Kazakhstan away.
Oh, thank you. Are Brighton in the Champions League? Because you'd send me to that one as well, no doubt.
That would. I mean, I've said Kazakhstan away as if that's a club as well. Anyway, that's by the by. Yeah, we're now more than 2 hours after the weird moment there was. And, yeah, sort of reflecting on... It feels weird because of that fact that they have lost this last game and they have actually lost their final two matches of the season. But thankfully, the work that they'd already done up till this point, the wins that they've gone on basically since early December have put them into this position. And as much as we've all said all along that this season was about them winning the Carabao Cup and that was the big thing, the fact that they got themselves into a position where they were going to be looked like they were going to be in the Champions League, if that had ended today with them having lost and then not being in the top five, I think there would have been at least a tinge of disappointment, which would have gone on for a few days before people sort of remembered the enormity of that moment. So it's nice that we haven't had to go through that.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. You know, Eddie Howe talked afterwards about the Champions League not being the be-all and end-all, but we all know that it's a game-changer. It's about the money, it's about the prestige, it's about keeping your best players, it's about getting the best players. It means more eyeballs on Newcastle. It is a big deal. You know, I've played it down a bit in the last kind of couple of weeks just because I didn't want anything to sort of sour the feeling of this season and what the team and club have achieved, which has been extraordinary. But it's a huge deal. You know, it is where the players want to be. And yeah, it was a weird day. It was a weird kind of occasion, very noisy at the start, but kind of giving way to an edginess. And it was a poor performance. I thought Everton were excellent. I'm not pleased to have been proven right about what a tricky team they would be to play against. But yeah, they made life very, very difficult. Fair play to David Moyes and his team. So it was just like a really weird end to the season. And I suppose in some ways it was appropriate because it's that kind of great reminder that for all this season has been wonderful,
it's also been hard work, and it's been very long, and it's been kind of epic, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think we also saw that Newcastle, as was a point that was sort of reiterated by Eddie Howe himself, need reinforcements this summer. We know they've gone three windows without strength in the first 11, and I think that you just saw they didn't really have the options to change it, or the changes that were made, the players didn't bring enough. And I think either players within the squad need pushing further so that they haven't had that additional competition, or there just needs to be a freshness injected there. And the tears from Callum Wilson, whether this is the end for him at Newcastle, it does feel like he hasn't been able to contribute in the way he had done previously. And so therefore, the start of going into a new Champions League campaign, if Newcastle are going to be more competitive, then really I do think that they need strength and they need that additional depth. But really, to see those scenes afterwards, to see the sort of celebrations and people singing the songs that you've just tried to sing, and also about them obviously having won the cup, I think that for years and years to come, people will reflect back on the season. We're going to do a bigger review of the season podcast coming up. But just walking back for the final time after a match this season, walking back, leaving the stadium, you do sort of remember all of those ups and downs, and particularly those massive, massive highs that Newcastle have had.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a good case to be made that this is the best season in Newcastle's history. I mean, I'm not sure how you go back and compare it to, you know, the team that last won the title, because that's getting on for 100 years ago and a completely sort of different era. How do you compare it to the 1950s when Newcastle repeatedly won, you know, the FA Cup, but European football wasn't a prize on offer? I mean, it is such a kind of game-changing thing to be in the Champions League for any club now, and for Newcastle to not, you know, not just to have done it once, as they did, you know, kind of 20 years ago when they thought that they would be back there, and of course never did, but to be there repeatedly is just such a massive thing. To do that and win a trophy means it's transformative, it's extraordinary. It's definitely the best half season in their existence. I think it just has to be. And, you know, an extraordinary achievement by Howe and the players to turn it around after all those difficulties. And, I mean, I would say it would linger long in the memory, but I forget everything, as you know. So it won't. It'll just be gone. I can't believe it's over. It just feels like it's gone on forever and then it's finished.
I wonder if next season will bring a return for you wearing the cap that you've just kept on all day as well, or whether we will return to normal.
It rained on me on the town moor, and I got my hair got wet, and my hair's quite long at the minute, and I didn't want to expose it for the good of everybody watching on.
Anyway, signing off from the centre of Newcastle, that is the end of Newcastle United's epic 2024-2025 season. It ends in defeat, but also in a wider way in victory. Newcastle will be in the Champions League next season, and obviously we will be there covering
it
for you.
The podcast, though, is it? Because we're carrying on.
Oh, yes, the podcast is... We still don't have full details of that, so I don't know exactly how much I should say, but we are theoretically carrying on over the course of the summer. I don't know exactly how that will work out yet. We will update further, whether that's every single week. But as I say, there will be an end-of-season review coming up very, very soon. And until then, toodaloo, and have a wonderful end-of-season party. Is that what people do? I don't know what people do now.
Do you have a pint? Let's have a pint.
Let's have a pint.
The Athletic FC Podcast Network.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.